Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be the game of the weekend. This is the best weekend of the year, of course. The NFL divisional round. Bills, Ravens, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. No disrespect to the other matchups, Perloff, but this is by far the closest spread. So much on the line for these two quarterbacks, these two franchise, well, maybe more for the Bills franchise, because the Ravens have been
Ravens
so consistent.
Yeah, the Ravens have a couple
of rings, yeah. But for these two quarterbacks, you can't understate it because they're both under tons and tons of pressure. Lamar has two MVPs, soon to be three, likely, and no rings. Josh Allen has been knocking at the door for years, no MVPs, but everyone knows what a talent he is. But in the playoffs, despite him playing well in most of these playoff games, he's been not able to get it done either. Every part of this and just how even these two dudes are, they both got better this year. They're not turning the ball over. I mean, every single part of this is just shaping to be one of those legacy-defining games.
Except that because of the weather, it won't be a big passing game. So I don't know. Does that affect it at all? Like, I think and you and I disagree a little. I think the weather is going to define this game. People are going to say, oh, the cold game between Lamar and Josh. Just like the cold game with Miami, Kansas City last year. I don't think this is, unfortunately, I don't think either guy is going to pass the ball that much.
But they're both running quarterbacks. So yeah, we're going to still get that aspect. It's not they're totally neutralized.
Right. But that's not what we're paying to see them run for 6 yards. We want to see the full capability. Like, you know why Lamar is awesome this year? Because he does run, but he also will rip off a 30 yard dime just at the exact right spot. Now, Josh Allen's been doing a little bit less of that, his roll right and throw it 40 yards on a rope. That's because he doesn't have anyone to throw it to. But I think that all this, to me, the entire narrative is lending itself to help Josh Allen. Because I feel like a slower, more conservative game helps the Bills, where the number one offense in the NFL, the Ravens, would be better served in a fast-paced game.
It's funny, the irony of this whole thing is, yeah, it's about the quarterbacks, the legacies, all of that, but they both want to run the ball. And the Ravens ran the ball extremely effectively the first time these two teams played, which was all the way back in week 4, and Derrick Henry started the game off with an 87-yard touchdown. And it was like, oh.
Yeah, that's not happening this time. They're going to, because of the cold, there's the safeties are going to be, nobody's watching the receiver. Nobody's doubling Keon Coleman. Everybody's watching Derrick Henry. Although the Steelers were not. For some reason, the Steelers were not. Oh, the Steelers were against. Yeah, the Steelers kept on, would not put everybody in the box against Lamar and Derrick Henry. It was killing me.
It's crazy. We're going to rank the quarterbacks in just a moment, both the AFC and the NFC. But first, here is Lamar Jackson talking about the rivalry with Josh Allen. Obviously, same draft class. He says it's not friendly on the field, but later on, they'll be friends.
When we're older, we'll probably laugh about it. But right now, it's serious. I ain't laughing with you.
Yeah, I like this. You know, it doesn't seem like it's not animosity, but I kind of like when guys aren't friends, especially because I'm rooting for one of these teams. So yeah. I've lived and died with these teams. I don't want quarterbacks yucking it up. Like, you do behind the scenes is fine. Like, you do you. But as far as publicly, we're along this ride with you, and the fans can't impact. You know, we don't impact the game, really, except for the ones who are in the stadium. But I like it when there's a little bit of, it means so much to them, they're going to not be friends right now, and they're not going to be all chummy. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't buy any of that. Like, there's no rivalry with Lamar Jackson anyone, because Lamar Jackson loves every human being on the planet. Like, and we know it. Like, what's the meanest thing Lamar Jackson has ever said about anybody? There's nothing. Find me a quote where Lamar Jackson has a negative thing to say about another human being, and I'd be shocked.
Okay, but Tom Brady never said negative things about guys in public, was a stone-cold killer behind the scenes. Not Lamar.
Lamar is not. Lamar behind the scenes is... Hey, let's hug and talk about how awesome you are. I watch Hard Knocks. I mean, it is crazy. He is 75% cheerleader. He didn't say anything bad about the other team. He's just like, man, I have so much respect for the other team when he's mic'd up. Like, I don't think that he has a mean bone in his body. Maybe I'm totally misreading him.
I think it takes something different to get to this level. I think Mahomes gets salty about these guys all the time. He talks a ton of trash. Josh Allen talks a ton of trash.
Lamar's like gets off the sideline. He's like, yeah, that was a tough loss. And then makes like three jokes and like somehow figures it all out. And it's like the most, he's just like, look ahead, positive. There's no rivalry with Lamar and anybody. He's on a different plane as a person. I really believe that. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I could see like, it just doesn't feel like Bradshaw, Staubach, who are very different people, or Brady and Manning. I just can't see that happening. Am I crazy? Because like, I feel like...
I think they've got you fooled.
You think Lamar...
is what I would say.
Not Lamar. I just don't think he has it in him. I think he's a genuinely good person. I am fooled.
He can be a genuinely good person. That's not what we're talking about. Like... What we're talking about is how much they want to beat these guys.
Yeah, I don't think Lamar is even like... He doesn't seem like a guy who's constantly comparing himself to others either.
He was during his contract negotiation. I think he definitely wanted the most money.
I think he's more... Lamar strikes me as somebody who's really focused on his own stuff. He does not like look around. But maybe I'm wrong. He doesn't seem like he's caught up with other people.
855-212-4227. We're asking who's the better quarterback on X at Maggie and Pearl. Right now, Josh Allen's leading this way comfortably, which I'm pretty surprised about. You can go vote. We also have a side-by-side. Does Bogish look like Quinn Ewers from Texas? And no is leading, which I think is not right. I think he does look like Quinn Ewers. I think we all think that. Meanwhile, let's rank some QBs. So the AFC... might be a little bit easier, in my opinion, because if I'm ranking the four quarterbacks who are left, and we're just talking about right now, not all time. We can't talk about Jaden Daniels versus Matthew Stafford. Makes no sense. One guy's in year 16 and the other guy's in year one. But if we're just talking about right now, the quarterbacks that you would want, I think Mahomes is still one. I would put Allen, too, which is probably my fan bias, mm-hmm. but also he has a much better playoff. He's been much better in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson, which is what I'm hanging my hat on. Then Lamar and then CJ Stroud. Do you see it any other way?
I might flip-flop. If it wasn't for the weather, I might flip-flop Lamar and Allen. In part, like, this might be a cop-out, but Allen has no one to throw to. So I don't think like Allen's going to be able to win the game. I think they're going to have to play conservatively to make up for the pass game, where Baltimore can go either way. I think they're a little more explosive, so I'd give Lamar 2, Allen 3. Then, of course, Stroud 4, but Stroud played really well, by the way, last week. That sounds like a denigration to say he's 4th, but look at it. He's got 3 surefire Hall of Famers ahead of him.
Then on the NFC, I think this gets a little bit more tricky.
Yes, much trickier.
Okay, so how are you ranking the four NFC quarterbacks who are left?
Matthew Stafford 1, Jared Goff 2, Jaden Daniels 3, Jalen Hurts 4.
Wow, you really are not loving Jalen Hurts right now. You are down on Hurts.
No, I mean, I think he's got... Actually, it's funny. I was looking at 3 really good quarterbacks ahead of him, but there's no slouches in this list. I don't think Hurts is afraid of anybody. Like, he went into the Super Bowl 2 years ago and went mano a mano with Mahomes, but he looked really, really rusty last week. He looked very uncomfortable coming off the concussion. I think he's actually a distant 4th this week. I don't think he's going to throw a lot.
I know this is going to sound crazy. I think of the NFC quarterbacks that I would want right now, I think Jaden Daniels is number 1. And it's only the fact that he's a rookie that I think he is at this major disadvantage for this game, because he's just never been this deep in the playoffs. Meanwhile, Jared Goff on the other side has been to a Super Bowl, been to an NFC championship, multiple NFC championship games. I think Jaden Daniels is actually the best, playing the best. Stafford was awesome against the Vikings. Stafford was awesome against the Vikings, period, full stop. I can't say anything else. But I just think that Stafford, I'm worried about him again in this Eagles game. I am. I'm worried he's going to get hurt, actually. Like, I'm worried that the Eagles defense is just going to be all over him.
You have to murder Matthew Stafford to get him off the field.
He's leave the field.
Yeah.
I just think he could get banged up. The dude's as tough as anybody. Am I crazy to think that Jaden Daniels is the best NFC quarterback left?
I think.
You think I'm crazy?
Yeah.
Goff. Stafford's obviously won a Super Bowl. He's got like the most postseason success, but Goff, when like last year's Niners game, like he got screwed by his receivers, dropped the ball. Like he can be near perfect, which is funny because I don't think he's the most talented or best quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm not putting Goff ahead of him.
I mean, I'd be shocked if Jared Goff did not have a great playoff.
There's something about Jaden Daniels, and maybe you could say I'm just I'm picking and choosing here, and I'll grant you that, but there is something about him playing his best when they absolutely need him to go on a drive.
He's great at that.
How do you have that as a rookie?
Wow, Jaden Daniels. Look at that. But he's a little older. He's 23. He's transferred. So he's not a normal rookie.
It's like he's a rookie but playing his absolute best when the game is on the line. And I'm not saying that Matthew Stafford doesn't. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. There's just something I weirdly trust the most. I trust Jaden Daniels the most needing to go down and get a score. Maybe I'm crazy.
It feels a little prisoner in the moment, Maggie. He's fourth on my list on this.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you?
But that's that's a rookie bias.
I don't know if it's a bias. I think it's also like I'm taking the little totality of the season. I think because they've won these games in these miraculous fashions, I'm not saying that it's luck or he deserves credit for it, but in some ways I think it does take away from like the other 59 minutes of some of these games when the Commanders have struggled or the offense has kind of gone stale. And he's a great player, but I mean, Stafford has a ring. How's he not number one? I don't know. He has a ring. I mean, Jalen Hurts has been in the Super Bowl and threw four touchdowns or ran for four touchdowns. Like,
I know, but EJ, it's not a lifetime achievement award. That's not what we're doing on these rankings. I'm not ranking Matthew Stafford's career versus Jaden Daniels. Of course, there's no conversation there.
It's not like this is ancient history. We're not talking about Jim Kelly and Dan Marino like we were earlier today. This is like 2-3 years ago these guys were in these positions.
I know, but I'm just saying right now, I think Jaden Daniels is the best of these four quarterbacks right now. Perloff said it. Hurts doesn't look that awesome.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, I think, can get moved off his spot. Let's see what happens. Maybe not in this game. Maybe they win this game 50-10. I have no idea. I think Daniels is the best because he also is a running threat, too.
Look at that. and listen, Stafford ain't running anywhere. Although he has run a little bit more this year, which is always funny. He looks like me running. I just think Stafford, if you're in a real close game, he's going to make some big throws. Like his arm talent has gone nowhere. He still throws some beautiful passes in the clutch. Listen, all three are close. I'm not poo-pooing you at all. BC does have the run threat. He's great in the clutch. I think he's definitely fallen off a little bit in the second half of the year. I mean, he started out like MVP. It's not Roy. He's also got the Cliff thing where people catch up to Cliff's plays. He looked amazing once Kenny Pickett came in against him in the Eagles, but they were about to get boat race in that game. So it's been weird. And he looked terrible. I don't know if you guys watched that Cowboys game at the end of the season. Like he was like, the offense didn't look right. The end of the day, by the way, he could be the best quarterback by tenfold. The issue is Washington. Is that defense going to hold up against Detroit?
I don't know.
Like he's almost in a tough spot anyway. It's like, that's why the debate, like Jaden Daniels could really, really play well and still not come out looking as good as Jared Goff.
Well, what the Commanders have going against them going to Detroit, is obviously Detroit's a great team. They've been an amazing team all season, but they have that combination of they're a great team and they haven't won anything yet. So there's no way you're catching them off guard, right?
Yeah,
like
they should be hungry.
There's maybe a slight 2% chance that maybe the Texans catch the Chiefs off guard. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe.
The Chiefs have been playing down to everybody, so that makes some sense.
Like the Detroit Lions have to be looking at the fact that the Packers got knocked out. Mm-hmm. They've got the number one seed. Like this is all shaping up awesome for them.
Well,
Tampa got knocked out. I mean, this is a team that played them tough last year in the playoffs. Like everything is breaking right, except for the fact that they'll have to play your Eagles most likely if things go chalk. But at least they get to do it at home.
Oh my God, they would be thrilled to see the. They don't want to see the Rams. The Rams are definitely kryptonite for the Lions. But At least it'll be a close game. You start off talking about how much Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen need to win. The Detroit Lions need to win more than anybody. That would be the most, if they lost this game, that would be the most heartbreaking playoff loss because they haven't won a Super Bowl or championship since 1957. Everything, like to lose at home to arguably the worst team in the field, that would be terrible, terrible, right? Don't you agree?
And I don't, but I don't see any evidence of that. Like they don't lay eggs.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying, like, if they did lose this game,
yeah,
the Chiefs losing the Texans would be bad. I think the Lions losing the Commanders would be far
devastating.
Worse. Because the Chiefs have two rings.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. But and that's why I don't think you're going to catch the Lions off guard. You're not going to be able to catch them, you know, resting on their laurels or anything like that. But I'll agree with you. Yeah, of course, it'd be devastating. Devastating. I mean, especially because they're about to lose both of their coordinators. Like, you're not getting the band back together next year for another go-round.
Yeah, you still have a... You've had a great GM who's been picking a lot of talent. I wouldn't count them out. That was a very depressing statement for Lions fans. You're accurate, but depressing.
What's that?
That they're losing both coordinators, you put it that way.
Well, I mean, you're paying attention to this coaching search, right?
No, I know you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. You're absolutely accurate. But it feels like a do or die year for them because the Eagles are banged up. Yeah, they really should come out of the NFC now. And, oof. I think they will. If I, you know, we're saying this, like, I think what I'm hearing from you is you're pretty confident in Detroit.
That is not the upset that I would pick, even though I do think Jaden Daniels is the best NFC quarterback left. 855-212-4227. All right, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, who do you think is the better quarterback? We started talking a little about ring culture, too, and about do you like this about sports today, where it feels like the way at least I define ring culture, if you don't win, it's like nothing matters. And who said as much, I think on the broadcast, was it Troy Aikman said this about the Vikings?
It became personal with me.
He said, you know, you lose this game, what did the season mean? Nothing. And I get where he's coming from. I'm talking more about the champion runner-up. Like the Super Bowl runner-up. We were talking about quarterbacks that didn't win rings but had great careers like Jim Kelly or Dan Marino. Would you rather be Mark Rippon? Would you rather be Joe Flacco than Jim Kelly? Because I think there's a lot of people, especially today, because rings are the thing. Not that they weren't in the 70s and 80s, but we become this crazy obsessed ring culture where if you don't win, you sucked. And
I don't think
that always makes me laugh. I don't think it's that black and white.
I feel like sometimes that's skewed, though. I don't know if that's necessarily true because, I mean, I'm thinking about it now. Like, I feel like we always talk about, like, Randy Moss's rookie year, how the Vikings were just killing people. Or I know the Patriots lost that last game, but we still talk about how amazing the Patriots were. I don't.
But what if the Patriots have all these other championships, right?
Yeah, like, maybe that's not the greatest example.
How do people talk about Russell Westbrook?
He's a special case. I think I kind of remove him from it because there's other stuff. Russ seems kind of like an ornery character, so people don't like him. But I think a lot of these guys, like, people love Charles Barkley now. Like, and people talk about great.
25 years of him doing media.
Right, but we're talking about now, though, right?
Barkley was beloved the day he left the court. He's awesome in media it's because of media, but yeah. But I don't think you're saying that people don't love the guy. It's like people love Jim Kelly.
Yeah, people love Jim Kelly. I'm just saying I don't think they respect their careers as much. We had a caller call in and say nobody talks about Jim Kelly as a top 10 quarterback of all time.
Whatever your name is.
And if he had won one of those Super Bowls, we would have.
Yeah, totally. Is anyone disagreeing?
I think to Perla's point, that seems fair, though. Jim Kelly, he's a cane. I love Jim Kelly.
No, but because Scott Norwood missed a field goal, we don't talk about Jim Kelly. Like, you're not, it's not right. It's not correct.
But he falls from, like, he would be, like, number 8, and he falls to 14. It's not like he falls off the planet. Like, we still respect Jim Kelly. But, yeah, definitely, like,
you
got to find a way to rank guys, and, like, that is a big one. And, obviously, Marino is the ultimate exception. Like, Marino ain't falling on anybody's list. Even though he didn't win a Super Bowl. Because you can be so good that, and I think Marino qualifies, that it doesn't matter if you won a Super Bowl. I mean, would you agree that Dan Marino's the one exception to, like, not winning a ring judgment?
Yeah, but nobody talks about him. I don't think a lot of people put him in their top 5. Because I think Elway nudges him out because Elway got the 2 at the end.
Yeah, but Marino, like, there are a lot of experts who put him way, way high, much higher than anyone else without a ring.
He's much higher, yes, than everyone without a ring, but you're saying it doesn't matter for Marino, and I'm saying it still does.
Yeah, I think Marino, though, it does matter, but he's the one guy who elevates over the non-ring thing to get really high on lists. Like, he'll be five, where nobody else could do that.
855-212-4227. I think people don't put him top five because of the ring thing. I think it's more Brady, Montana, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and I think Elway gets that last one or whatever because of the ring. And think about how we've changed in society even just like in the last 20 years or so, where Aaron Rodgers, for a lot of people, is looked at as a disappointment because he only won one. Like, that's ring culture out of control, too. One's not enough.
It's weird, though, with Rodgers. I think he's kind of like Russell Westbrook, though, because we don't do that with Favre. Like, Favre has won. He should have won way more.
Yeah, no, I think we do it with Favre a little bit.
He was beloved before. Yeah, people did it with Favre a lot.
I think people do it with Favre. I think people do it with Peyton Manning, except for Perloff.
Brett Favre.
I think before Favre had all this other nonsense, like, I feel like before he was like, oh, he was like the John Madden meme. Like, oh, yeah. Brett Favre. Oh. Yeah. Like, that's what we think of him.
Because he's kind of like a... what is Favre before all the scandals? He was like a folk hero.
Exactly.
Well, Favre, yeah, but everybody thinks like Favre left one or two on the table, probably because he was partying too much. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he was got caught up in like, or something happened, like something personality happened. Like the loss of the Broncos, talk about a devastating loss. That was insane. Like that was supposed to be a second Super Bowl win.
But Favre to me is kind of like the 85 Bears or the 86 Mets. Like to me, like we don't look at them, again, maybe a little different because of the off the field stuff recently, but I think we looked at them still like unbelievable, larger than life characters. But despite the fact that maybe they were a quote-unquote disappointment.
Sure.
I think because we don't like Aaron Rodgers, people don't like Russell Westbrook, those guys get hammered more for not winning enough.
Enough, yeah. Interesting. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do. You're welcome to weigh in. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, right there on a silver platter, Sunday night. Good way to finish the weekend. And then... the idea about ring culture, are we getting out of control here? There's also an all-time story that's going around, an admission that happened in sports media, and it got us thinking a lot about stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't get to see. We'll get to that next. M&P.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. I see something on this rundown for our show today that I didn't know that we dealt in outright lies. Is that what we're doing now? Like fiction? Is this a fiction show? Are we a fan fiction here?
Well, we are part of the media.
Because there is one story that came up last night, and I decided not to weigh in on it because I want to do it now. This is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard in my entire life, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
Is it that Bogus looks like Quinn Ewers?
No, that's
dead on. The internet
says
that's not true.
Well, they're blind because to say that those two guys don't look alike. And you said that everybody has the same shape face. Like, they have a very unique shape face. Anyway, I'm talking about LeBron James. This is hot garbage. This story is so stupid. Why would we believe LeBron, who's been lying to us about small, irrelevant things for 15 years? Nothing big, nothing real.
Yeah.
But the guy is a stone-cold fibber.
Yeah, claiming he saw The Godfather, clearly didn't. Other weird lies. Okay, so here's LeBron on the Kelce Brothers podcast, New Heights podcast. Tells a story. This story's been out there, by the way. LeBron didn't bring this up. Ron Artest brought this up. But here's the story of LeBron playing in a infamous, epic, legendary, whatever you want to call it, pickup game against Michael Jordan and others when LeBron was 16 years old.
So when I finally was able to get on the court, first of all, MJ, Antoine Walker, and the rest of those guys did not let young guys get on the court at all. And I was 16 years old. I was sophomore in high school. And it takes a while to get on the court. It's usually when the older guys, they get tired and they don't want to play no more. They like whatever. But I did. And I was able to get on the court alongside. I was on the court with Michael Jordan, Antoine Walker, Penny Hardaway,
Ron Artest,
Michael Finley, all these guys.
And, well, who was guarding LeBron?
Who guarded you?
Nobody. I was unguardable. Listen, I was 16.
These are high school finest, baby.
More from LeBron on this legendary pickup basketball game against Michael Jordan and company when he was a sophomore in high school.
When I finally got out there, I was like, I'm busting ass, man. I was nervous as hell, being out there with MJ and the rest of those guys. But
Are you kidding me?
I was like, I'm about to go crazy, and I did, man.
That's awesome, man.
I did.
I don't know why you don't believe this. Number one, Ron Artest is the one who brought it up and corroborates that LeBron did play this well.
Oh, okay. The noted historian, Meta World Peace, corroborated.
Yeah. He weirdly lied about his age.
I'm not saying Artest he didn't play. He just, he's overstating how good he was. That's what I'm saying.
Well, listen, to be fair to LeBron, he says, I had to wait till all the older guys were tired. So he knew that he was taking on... It's not like everyone was at full strength. They had already been playing pickup for, I don't know, a couple hours before he was able to get on the court.
Listen, this reminds me, we had O'Shea Jackson Jr. on last week about his dad messing around and getting a triple-double in a pickup game. Like, this is, like, I just think he's, whatever happened on that pickup court, I'm sure LeBron was fantastic. He's the second best player in the history of the sport. I just think it's implying that he whooped Michael Jordan when he was 16. That's a takeaway. When I read that headline, basically LeBron destroys Michael Jordan when he's 16 in a pickup game. That was kind of the implied message of that whole story.
It definitely was, but he did say that they were tired. He kind of caught him, I think, and he was all ready to go. However, this would not be like LeBron's other fibs. We can't really prove if LeBron ever saw The Godfather. It sounds like he's lying when he's asked about the movie, and it's so silly. Why would you lie? Just tell the truth. These other people to corroborate this.
You can't prove
Antoine
it.
Antoine Walker.
Do you have any film?
Never met a Mike he didn't like. Penny Hardaway, literally coaching college basketball. He might have a game tonight. You could ask him about it. Michael Finley can't be that hard to track down. All the people who were here... We can get the story from them. So he can't be lying about this or else all these other people are going to come out and say that he's a liar. LeBron lies about stuff you can't corroborate. He said he knew Kobe Bryant was going to score 81. Like,
but those are finite facts. How good a guy played in a pickup game, you can't like, basically, it's not something like you can prove. The only proof would be if we had film of this game. Like, we actually saw it. Like, yeah, what is Michael Finley going to say? No, LeBron wasn't good. That doesn't mean anything. It's not like a specific thing. Did you see The Godfather? It's not a black and white issue. It's like, how well did this guy play in a pickup game?
I
could come in on Monday and be like, I just dominated my pickup game. It's obviously, like, there's no, like, proof one way or the other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you came in Monday and said, guys, I dominated my pickup basketball game on Saturday, then we're like, well, here's Donnie. And he was there, too. He could come in and be like, Perloff sucked in the basketball game.
Yeah, but then, then Josh would be like, well, Perloff played pretty well. Then Mark would be like, nah, I don't think so. I think he was, he didn't cut to the basket well enough. Like, this is so subjective. That's my point. It's not like LeBron saying, I knew Kobe. I told somebody Kobe's going to score 81. It's totally subjective.
So if there's no film, it didn't happen?
I don't think he dominated to the level that he told in this story.
Because there's no film of Wilt's 100-point game, so did that happen?
Oh, jeez. Gen Z and their stupid Wilt.
Gotcha.
And Helen Keller didn't exist. You guys are awful.
Wait, what?
That's a famous one. Like, you guys know the Helen Keller thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gen Z thinks that Helen Keller didn't exist because there's no film or she's a plant or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, here's what it got us thinking about. First of all, I do think you guys have played 100 times more pickup basketball game than I've ever played. But I think you kind of know whether a guy played well or didn't.
Yeah, I don't agree with Perloff's take on him.
Oh, get out of here. First of all, like, you probably, like, you might think you played well, or other people are like, oh, that guy's a corn dog or something. It's not like, yes, I do think that he's overstating how well he played.
Okay, the second part of this whole cool story that LeBron told to the Kelce brothers about being in this pickup basketball game with Michael Jordan and all that when LeBron was 16. It made me think, what are the other things in sports that you wish you could have been a fly on the wall for? Because none of us got to be here. I don't know if any fans were here. I'm sure Stephen A. Smith will probably somehow. Stephen A. was there. I don't know. But this would have been cool. There's only one other one I could really think of, which is 1992 Dream Team, the famous scrimmage that happened, I think, in France, actually, before they went to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was in Monaco. Jack McCallum wrote about this in his book about the Dream Team, this all-time amazing, super competitive Dream Team on Dream Team scrimmage that happened before the Olympics started.
And it wasn't filmed?
There might be some, I don't know. But McCallum was there. He wrote about it.
I mean, I have no doubt. When Apollo and Rocky met and it was like after the film, dude, to be there for that.
Where, at the craft services table or the trailer?
No. Like, you remember, like, he's like, Apollo wanted to see him, like, they really wanted to battle out, not with all the fanfare. Like, that's where you want to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, and they're about to punch each other, and then the movie fades to
black. That was about as real as LeBron dominating MJ in a pickup game when he was 16. No. What you're saying is things that were not televised, like not like fly on the wall when Nick Foles and Doug Peterson came up with Philly. Philly, you mean things that we did not have access to.
Exactly.
I got to think about that because there's got to be.
Like all-time great pickup games, all that stuff. Like there's another infamous one where, and this has not a great ending, but it's Michael Jordan making Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry play one-on-one to see who they were going to select number one between
Kwame.
The Wizards. Was it?
It's Kwame.
Kwame, thank you. Kwame.
Tyson and Kwame.
And Tyson. Thank you. Sorry.
Well, no. Okay. But did Eddie Curry and Tyson go in the same draft? Or am I
crazy? Chicago. They went to Chicago.
Oh, so Jordan he took Kwame.
Jordan was famous running the Wizards, and he put two centers against each other and said, let's see who plays one-on-one. The winner will be the number one pick. And Kwame somehow won.
Kwame won. He gets the number one pick. I guess I would have wanted to be a fly on the wall if Kwame Brown ended up having a great career, but he's a punchline, so it didn't matter as much.
I run into more conspiracies. Like, the first thing I ran to was, did the frozen envelope happen? Like, did
you want to be in the room?
I want to be in the room where they're doing the ping pong balls to see if it actually went down or not. You know?
Yeah.
I want to be in the room when the Patriots are doing Spygate. Like, how much of an advantage did it actually give them?
There's not a lot of mystery about that. Like, everyone knows. That one, I can kind of like, we kind of know what happened. That one, I wouldn't put it the same thing.
I get
Spygate is very proved. The frozen envelope. I'm with EJ. I want to see. We are the New York Knicks.
What other fly on the wall moments would you have liked to have been there for sports? The backroom stuff.
How about when Robert Redford struck out the Babe Ruth character in the beginning of The Natural? That was at a county
movie.
Fair.
Again, going back to conspiracies. I want to see Kurt Schilling in the sock. Is it ketchup? Is it blood?
I want to know why Bill Belichick sat Malcolm Butler.
That's a good one.
Tonya Harding plotting against Nancy Kerrigan.
How do you remember that? Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
Hi, Tonya. Yeah.
Good movie. All right, 855-212-4227. Yeah, what would you have liked to have been a fly on the wall for?
Weirdly enough, the Chiefs tell stories about Patrick Mahomes shredding them all year in practice. It's like the scout team guy. He was doing this crazy. Like, I would love to have seen those practices. Like, what's a young Patrick Mahomes with basically no filter doing against the Chiefs ones?
Or like Kareem wasn't allowed to play as a freshman. And apparently, you know, they're going against a national champion UCLA team. And they would play the freshman against the seniors. And he would just dominate them. And they had just won 4 straight national titles. It would kill them.
I don't know if I need the footage for that. I 100% believe it. But I would have liked to have seen it. Okay, 855-212-4227. Bogus, quickly, some headlines. Didn't leave you a lot of time here, pal.
Guys, I'm nothing if not fair and balanced. So after Nick's snark last hour, I present the Brooklyn Nets.
Zubats hands to Powell. Coming to the top of the key to the foul line. Squeezing through defender. Shot goaltended by Nick Claxton. So the first points of the game come in a Claxton goaltend.
The first game ever to end on an opening goaltend. Brooklyn only slightly better last night at scoring in its own net, losing 126-67. The lead was as large as 64. The final margin of 59 is simultaneously the largest win in Clippers history and the biggest Nets loss ever. So how you doing, head coach Jordy Fernandez?
This is not the time to point or deflect anything. It's time to everybody own, and I will own first.
Yeah.
It's whenever something bad happens, it's never the time to talk about it, you know? This bad happened. You know, this isn't the time to point fingers. This is exactly the time to point fingers. If not now, when?
The guys that played for the Nets last night
Yes,
this wouldn't even make the Sixers roster.
It's a schedule loss.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Also in L.A. last night, the Lakers rallied past the Heat 117-108 to snap a three-game skid. LeBron and Anthony Davis each scoring 22. The Rockets pushed their win streak to 7, 128-108 in Denver. The Nuggets didn't have Nikola Jokic or Aaron Gordon. And the Hawks won in Chicago 110-94, despite our friend Trae Young out with sore ribs. So a gentleman named Keaton Wallace led Atlanta with 27 points and 6 assists. Daquan Plowden added 19.
Who are these people?
They were Atlanta Hawks, or at least for last night.
No, these are 2K generated players. You created these men.
Men's college hoops. Iowa State down Kansas 74-57 in a top 10 Big 12 clash. And 10th ranked Houston took care of West Virginia 70-54. On the women's side, Paige Beckers was back from her knee injury, scoring 12 points in 23 minutes. In number 6, UConn's 71-45 win at St. John's. And congrats to Patriots QB Drake May, recently getting engaged to his high school sweetheart, Ann Hudson. Sweet photos released yesterday on a beach.
All right, Maggie, you're out of this conversation. Okay. What do you guys think of quarterbacks who can date any woman on earth? They all get married at 21 years old. Thoughts are 22 years old.
It seems, how do we say this nice? It seems counterproductive.
Yes, like what? What were we out there at 28, 29,
to what, buddy?
Desperately trying to get a date? These guys, like, they have every woman on earth they can date, and they all get married at 21 years old.
Why do you think the divorce rate is so high among pro athletes? I mean, I'm keeping it 100.
Well,
I know that you said I can't weigh in on this conversation. But
of course you can. Yeah.
Can I give? What if it just saves you a lot of grief and headaches, too?
I think you're afraid that any woman who comes up to you is going to have nefarious intentions.
Right. So you maybe you're like, listen, the person who was with me when I was, you know, not the Drake May, when I was just Luke's brother.
Yeah.
Maybe I can trust that person.
Well, I also do think, I mean, let's
get divorced, so I don't know if that's even true.
But. Nah, just use me.
A lot of them are.
Manny would love to get used for a little bit.
A lot of
them. Yes, I am the Drake May.
Very serious about religion. A lot of them, and you probably not believe this, a lot of them will not be intimate until they get married. Like a lot of them. I'm dead serious.
I mean, definitely a thing.
I mean, listen, we're not there. And I don't want to be there. And what goes on in someone's own private bedroom is their own thing. But also,
attaboy,
ha,
Tebow.
Ha ha ha.
Attaboy, Tebow.
See that? Tim Tebow's having a kid.
Okay.
I did have a follow-up, though, for Maggie.
I disagree with all you guys on that one, but go ahead.
Okay.
Were you surprised when your husband proposed to you?
Yeah. Not shocked. We'd been dating for a long time, but I was very pleasantly surprised. It was great. He went so above and beyond. I was amazed.
Because the first picture released is her on the beach, like, with her hands on her face, like, she's stunned, and they're dressed coordinatedly, and there's a rose bed next to them on the beach. Like, she knew she was going to the beach for something.
Yeah.
And I hope this happens all the time. Like, yes. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited, but the surprise, like, oh, I didn't know what was going on. And I had to wear this nice dress, and my family's over my shoulder, and there's a photographer.
So she acted.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought Haley Steinfeld, too. It's like, I'm so surprised, and Josh Allen said, she told me, like, what are you waiting for? I'd like to believe I'm remembering this correctly. I don't recall ever giving my husband any kind of ultimatum.
Finally!
Live footage. I was more surprised that Tyler Bass kicked that field goal and won that game.
Finally!
I don't think I said finally. That's what I was thinking in my head.
That's the best use of that clip ever. I might have to retire it.
Finally.
No, but there was, my family wasn't there, but there was a photographer hiding in the bushes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He had coordinated this whole thing.
Yeah, I thought about all that. It just seemed, I don't know. I thought that Andre would find out, so.
Yeah, mine was very private. We were on our own. Like, I was kind of told, I wasn't told, but, like, it had come up that, like, it was just supposed to be us.
So here's the part on the woman's side of this. There's a little bit where you have to let a little bit go. If you want to be surprised, you also have to let a little, let a few things slide. You got to pretend you didn't hear a couple things.
Right.
You've got to let yourself be surprised. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like, don't ask too many questions.
Right. You know it's coming, but you don't know it's coming on Wednesday.
Right. Or, you know, I think my husband said something like, oh, can you wear that dress that I like today? And I wasn't like, why? Why do I have to wear that dress that you like today? I just put it on. And then we just sort of went on our way. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Like,
go with the flow. Ah, crap.
That's what Maggie actually said when she was
actually said dress. In my head. I was like, ah, crap. Ah, crap. All right, I think that's it. Well, not for the show. We got plenty more to do, including I got Perloff. Can I speak your language for a second? Weather update. Going to impact these playoff games. We'll tell you.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About it next.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Wait, what's this music from, EJ?
Daredevil.
Oh, back. I saw the trailer. The new Daredevil. Maggie is, of course, clueless to this. Daredevil's coming back on Netflix, right?
Disney Plus.
One of the great non-movie Marvel characters of all time. Daredevil, who, of course, was a blind crime fighter. Super
true
cool.
True story?
Yeah, totally true story. Somebody's got to clean up New York. It's about time someone steps up and fixes this town. It's really cool. And the trailer looks really good.
Wasn't it Ben Affleck?
Yeah, but they did a movie version, like a Hollywood. Then they did this sort of gritty Netflix version. Is that fair to say, EJ?
Yeah, Ben Affleck was the terrible movie version, and then Charlie Cox was the TV version. Yeah.
Charlie Cox, who's outstanding, who turns out, first interview I ever saw him, totally British, playing a New Yorker. Kills it.
I'm sorry. Can I talk about important things for a moment? Can I give you a weather update for what's happening in Buffalo on Sunday night? Or are you guys want to talk more about something?
Yeah, yeah. Because nobody likes Marvel. No, nobody cares about that.
You guys keep telling me how much it sucks. It's fallen off. The movies are not as good.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah. Ant-Man 2 is an abomination.
I'm on the sidelines of so many of these conversations, but not now, not today. Let's talk weather. The update in Buffalo, more specifically Orchard Park, New York.
Is it a difference? I'm actually, because of the lake effect?
50% snow showers now. Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That changes things.
But I actually, wasn't the thing that early in the game and it's going to clear out? That's what they said, but I've no
idea.
Tell me about lake effect for a second.
Well, lake effect, that's a whole other situation. That's when it moves in. We're past the lake effect part of it. Lake effect is usually a little earlier on in the winter. This is just Buffalo. So it can snow at any time, at any moment.
Damn right it does.
That's why. Four episodes of thunder snow.
I want to lock in. We do picks on Friday. Can I lock in that spread right now? Can I pick the Buffalo Bills plus 1.5 points?
No, we make the picks tomorrow.
Oh, I know as a fact that's going to come down, and it's annoying me.
I mean, Derrick Henry can run in the snow.
He's never done it before.
Ever?
His coldest game was 22. I have no idea how Derrick Henry plays the cold. There's not a ton of evidence. He was in Nashville. There were some cold games, but not a lot.
I'm sorry, I didn't step on you.
Yeah.
It looks like a chance of snow now in Philadelphia as well. I don't know if you saw that coming.
That is good. That's good. Yeah, you know, L.A., their skin has gotten thin. They're not used to this cold. Stafford doesn't want the cold.
I think just playing outdoors in general gives the Philadelphia Eagles an advantage.
Huge
the
advantage.
The snow, I think, changes things as well.
Playing the Link, is a big home field. I think Arrowhead's a big, big home field.
I don't know how much the snow changes this Ravens-Bills game. Now, I'm also looking at winds only 5 miles per hour.
You don't think the snow changes this Ravens-Bills game?
No, because they both want to run the ball.
I'm also taking I want to lock in the under. 51.5. I mean, what are we talking about here? I do not understand. Am I getting suckered by these spreads? It's going to be 8 degrees, possibly snowing. How are they going to get their offenses going?
Well, it's going to be 27-25, watch.
What yeah, I'm thinking totally. Is I think you're going to have a lot of going forward on fourth down, feeling like you have to play just absolutely aggressive, even in this weather.
Or maybe you also have some turnovers in the red zone. I can see that is an issue for me.
The playing snow this might help the turnovers.
Turnovers, but also the cold. Like, will Lamar Jackson be more vulnerable to getting hit and fumbling?
He has 3 postseason lost fumbles in his career. Like, he doesn't fumble.
3 postseason lost fumbles? That's not, is
in
that a good
7 st- games. I mean, it's not like that's he's terrible. Fumbling the ball all over the place.
That's not a good stat. That's a bad stat.
I don't know. I never think of Lamar as this big.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying 8 degrees. Lamar will give it up. He had a fumble recently.
4 picks this season, the whole season.
No, I'm talking about fumbles.
And fumbles, I barely had any this year. And Josh Allen's cut down on all his turnovers, too. But the snow might impact that. 855-212-4227. Poll question today. Who's the better quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen? Lots more to do, including is one of the coaches in the national championship game about to leave?